Hi, welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. I'm Dan, and I'm really excited this episode to be joined by Tim Longo, who's been a part of our church for a long time, but is relatively newly the pastor of outreach here at our church. Tim, this is really exciting to get to do.
I agree. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Well, for sure. And I mean, this is going to be, especially for people listening to this who are part of our church, this is sort of the sub goal of this is just to give them a chance to get to know you a little bit, but also to talk about outreach and to talk about serving in particular, because serving has not only played a big role in your life and in your growth in Christ, but it's something that we've been talking about a lot at the church, and it's something that you're passionate about in helping people to get going in. So for starters, I'd love you to just take a little bit and just kind of introduce yourself. Tell us about you, your family, kind of what's going on in your life.
Great. I've been married to my wife, Tracy, for, 28 years? Have two kids. My son, Hayden, is 17 and a senior at Upland High School. In love with rock climbing. Can't get enough of it. My daughter's 22, senior at Cal State Fullerton, hoping to become a speech pathologist at some point. We live in Upland. We've been in Upland for 24 years now. We've been here for a while. I grew up in Whittier, grew up in a single mom home, at a Catholic church. And even in the early stages of my life in the Catholicism and stuff, I really like leaned in towards Jesus. It was, there was just a lot of times where I just remember feeling like, oh, Jesus is with me, even not understanding what I meant, but just really feeling that. Met my best friend at the time when I was 7 or 8, and his family was Christian, and they really embraced me, took me in, and led me to the Lord. And I started going to a Quaker church when I was in junior high, and it really was transformative of my life. That's when I really started to take my walk with Christ seriously, and graduated from high school, started working in Pico Rivera for a little while, started cleaning carpet for a little while, doing, you know, just kind of odd jobs here and there. But man, the two things in my life that I've always loved since I was a little kid were motorcycles and bicycles. I tell you, they've always been a solid in my life. Even through my childhood, I just loved them and continue to love them. And just super excited to be in this new role as an outreach pastor. I've served here with Exit 83 for, 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I've been on staff part-time for 9 years, and I volunteered for about a year and a half before that. So I just really have a heart for following or for hanging out with students and watching them come to the Lord and love Jesus more. And then God really did a big work in me with the first Go team I went on back in, I think it was 2014. Went to Nicaragua to help drill a well. And boy, when God was working on me, he really took those two things, like youth ministry and global outreach, and just said, this is what you love. And I said, I agree. And so we went with it. So
that's awesome. We'll get more, a little bit deeper into some of that stuff. But one of the things that I enjoy a lot about you, Tim, is there's, whether it's hobbies or past jobs, there's just a lot of different stuff that you've done or that you've been involved with or that you tinker with. So just like maybe share a couple things that might be sort of like surprising or unexpected for people who are wanting to get to know Tim Longo a little bit. Like, I didn't know you used to do that, or I didn't know you were into that.
Yeah. I've done a lot of different things. One fun thing about me is I have 8 motorcycles. And a couple of them actually run. I was a youth pastor in Pico Rivera for a few years back in the early 90s. A fun thing about me is I went to nursing school and didn't make it all the way through, but I went to nursing school. And so worked as an EMT for a little while on an ambulance and just kind of developed a love for doing medical stuff. And so, yeah, those are some interesting things about me, I guess, or something.
Well, there are. There's a lot of different things that you have a level of competency in that most of us don't know how to do. Right. So you find yourself, you know, sometimes you're helping with tech related stuff. Sometimes you're driving a bus. There's all kinds of things. So a little bit of a Renaissance man and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I've always kind of believed you can't know how to do too many things. Mm. And so when opportunities arise, I've always just said, yes, let's see how it goes. And sometimes it doesn't go well, sometimes it does. So, but it kind of gives you a broad range of things. So.
For sure. Well, it's cool. And, you know, a big part of what I wanted us to be able to talk about is just, you know, whether we're talking about serving, using our gifts, you know, the passage, this will air after this, the sermon this coming Sunday that I'm preparing for, but it's on the passage in Ephesians, in the middle of Ephesians 4, that talks about the idea that the leaders of the church, people who are in positions like ours, our job is not to do the ministry while everybody watches us do ministry. Sure. Our job is to equip others to do ministry. Yeah. And so just the idea of this great thing that's often called the priesthood of all believers, that we all are given gifts, that it's not a bunch of people watch the pros do it, but we all have a gift, we all have a calling. I just know for you, and hearing your story at different times, the idea of serving and using your gifts, it played an important part, not only in sort of getting you to a point where now you're one of our pastors on staff, but just at a real pivotal point in your own personal relationship with Jesus, where you were experiencing some turmoil and questions. And I mean, I'd love if you would just share a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I grew up in a house that was non-Christian, wasn't encouraged to go to church, didn't have to go to church. But God really just drew me to, and like I said, in junior high and high school, God really got a hold of me. And something he used quite a bit was my high school youth group. As I began to develop in my faith a little bit, I was still very young in being a Christian, my youth pastor recognized something in me and gave me the opportunities to lead Bible studies and even like do announcements up front and, you know, just kind of gave me a lot of opportunities in the youth group to be a leader and to kind of help people to see Jesus in different ways. And so that was my first experience of really serving and seeing what God would do with that. After I worked in Pico Rivera, I went through I got married, and there was just some difficult times with my faith. I spent a year and a half working a job where I was on the road driving a truck, and so I didn't really go to church for a year and a half or so. I occasionally would go, but not very often. And
I was just going to say, and just backing up for a minute, you know, not that you have to go way into it, but there was some unpleasantness in some ministry you were doing.
Oh. Right?
I mean, as a youth pastor, which the only reason I bring it up is because as we're talking about like serving and using your gifts, just to acknowledge, here you are continuing to do it, and it hasn't always been puppy dogs and ice cream. That there's been some pain involved in it.
There absolutely has. Yeah, the church in Pico, it ended pretty poorly. It's just kind of a rash decision by the board and by the pastor, the lead pastor, to kind of ask me to step down. And then a week before I was going to step down, they said, oh, we've thought about it more and we'd really like for you to stay. And it was just kind of this emotional roller coaster for me. And I was young. I was, you know, 22, 23 years old. And so that really, it was a time where I saw the humanness of church. Mm. I started to realize like, oh, church isn't all about just God and people loving Jesus. There's actual humans that make mistakes, that have flaws, and it really messed with my faith. I went to another church to run a college group, right after that. And, there was just no support. There was just no, like, nobody even really acknowledged that I was there that I was, I wasn't being paid, but I was very sick. Like I was asked to be the person to run this group and nobody knew anything. And it just, that ended poorly as well. And so the combination of both of those, put a pretty good damper on my faith. And it took quite a while to realize that I was placing probably too much importance on the church and on the people in the church rather than the church being Jesus's church. You know what I mean? And so that's where the turmoil came in my life. And then, like I said, not being at church for like a year and a half or something and not getting into the word and really not praying very much. Like anybody, you just, your faith starts to diminish. If you don't put any effort into it, it just starts to diminish. And got to the point where I was like, I don't even know if God's real. I remember just thinking, I think he is, but I'm not sure. And the funny thing is, the whole time I was going to church, like after I got off this job, we were married, we're going to church, we're even helping in different areas, like children's ministry at some of the churches we're at. And it just, there was just no depth. There was just no, Jesus wasn't real to me. And I got to that point where I was just like, man, I don't know if God is, I don't know if Jesus is real. And, I said to him, I said, all right, if you're real, God, and you want me to do something for you, then I'll do it, but you have to make it easy and you have to make it obvious. And I'm like, ha, got him this time.
That's right. Did a little bit of a Gideon moment.
Totally.
Like, you know, make this fleece wet, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Prove it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, ah, God's not going to. And to me, it was like, this is how I'm going to prove God's not real, just like that, you know. And I think it was 3 days later, a friend of mine from high school that was a pastor I hadn't talked to in at least 15 years, probably more, called me up and was like, hey, Tim, I've been praying. I have this new ministry that I'm starting, and I really believe you should be part of it. And I'm like, oh, I guess you are real. And it was like instantly from that point forward, I just opened up my heart to God again. And I just allowed him to come back in. And man, he welcomed me with open arms. It was so, so exciting to see how forgiving and how loving and caring our God is when we ignore him and we push him away. We don't even believe he's real. But the moment you say, come on back, he's right there. That was just transformative to me.
Yeah. So. Well, I love it too. I mean, in thinking about all that, thinking about God's kindness and goodness to us, and also just thinking about the idea that sometimes when it comes to sort of the idea of serving in church, it can be easy to slip into the mentality of like, all right, Jesus has done all this for me. The least I can do for him is pitch in, sort of like the least I can do for him is help with kids or give a little bit of money or raise my hand when they ask for volunteers. Rather than, you were even talking about when you were a student in the youth group, and I had a similar experience where for me, getting to serve and getting to start thinking about like, I actually have a contribution here to this youth group. It was not burdensome at all. I mean, it was just thrilling, the idea that I had something to bring. And, you know, and even thinking, some people listening to it might kind of feel like, all right, but you guys are pastors. I mean, this was not something that you know, especially in this latter part of your life, were thinking, well, this is definitely where it's heading. You know, you had your carpet business, you're doing that, and really felt God calling you to first volunteer. You didn't start in the student ministry because you got hired.
Right.
You got hired because you were serving faithfully in that. Yeah. And even with this pastoral position, a lot of this was us looking and saying, you know, Jesus' words, if somebody's faithful in one, you know, in a smaller thing, they're going to be faithful in a larger thing. We felt like you exemplified that better than almost anyone at our church. We were like, who would we trust more with this than somebody that's been this faithful, not only in your job with student ministries, but in all of the many mission trips you involved yourself in over the course of time. So I guess all this is building just towards, can you share a little bit about serving and using your gifts being an agent of joy in your life?
Oh, absolutely. So right after I kind of made that decision, I heard God say to me, like, not an audible voice, but I just clearly heard him say yes to any opportunity that I bring your way. And I was like, really, Annie? Okay, here we go. And so I did. Like, there were so many opportunities at church here that came about. I did children's ministry. I involved myself a little bit with tech. I everything that came along. I did, the big thing for me was going to a men's retreat. I had a men's, and I didn't know anybody, even though I'd been at the church for over 5 years. I was the guy who would come to church and then bounce right after service and never talk to anybody. I feel like I should go to this men's retreat. Somebody asked me to go, and I'm like, okay, you said yes to everything. That's so right. Here I go. I'm going to a men's retreat. And just all these different opportunities that came about, I kept saying yes to. And not all of them were my strengths. Not all of them were my giftings. And so I wasn't super fulfilled in all of them, but I was super fulfilled in serving Jesus. Mm. And I even had opportunities to like be in silly videos and do things that you're like, that's not ministry, but some of these videos, people would come up afterwards and be like, hey, you being silly and that thing really had an impact on my life. And I'm like, how? Well, you know, I was like, are you seriously
that
shocked?
Video?
Yeah. It's like, I guess God can use anything. So there were so many opportunities that came up. And then my first trip on a go team, I was like, wow. This is like, I'd been to Mexico almost every year going through high school. And so I was familiar sort of with going on trips, but I just fell in love with missions all over again. And then one Sunday morning, Jeff Taylor was up there talking about, hey, we're in need of volunteers for Exit 83. And I'm like, and my wife, Tracy, was like, she knew my heart was in youth ministry. And I'm like, I'm too old. I can't do youth ministry anymore. She signed me up to be part
of
youth ministry. She actually signed both of us up. And then when Jeff called, he was like, hey, I hear you guys signed up. You know, I saw you signed up for youth ministry. And I'm like, we did? And he's like, yeah, well, I have a form here. And I'm like, let me call you back. And I called Tracy and I'm like, did you sign us up? She's like, well, I signed us up, but you're going to do it. I'm not. And I'm like, okay. And man, that's proof, like, you need to marry the right person,
because right.
she knows me and loves me and leads me towards
Sometimes
Jesus.
Sometimes a great wife is able to give you a nudge
totally
in the right direction.
What a blessing it was.
Yeah.
And I remember my first Wednesday in youth ministry, I was nervous as could be. I walked in and there were two kids in the youth group that really embraced me, because prior to that, I'd driven to Magic Mountain one time. And so I knew them a little bit, but two of them just embraced me and welcomed me and introduced me around, and went home that night. And Tracy was like, so how was it? And I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm. I knew, like, God put me, all the yeses led me to this moment. And, I was like one of the kids where I'm like, I never want to miss a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely love being here. And God used that moment in powerful ways, like has changed my faith, has changed the way I see him. Even like back in high school when I was madly in love with Jesus and following him, I've just grown in such a way that I just see him in a completely different mm-hmm. way now. And it's all through just saying yes. And it was really saying yes here. And the one cool thing is, once you say yes to volunteering here, it doesn't stop. Like, once you fall in love with serving God, you're going to want to do it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so you go on these go teams and you start serving elsewhere. You go to a family dinner and people are like, oh, I hear you're a church going guy. And I'm like, yeah, and let me tell you about it. You know what I mean? And you just kind of get this desire to serve God wherever you go.
Yeah. So. Well, and that thing you said a minute ago, just about that experience with student ministry and saying, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we long for every Christian,
sure.
but thinking of our church, for everyone who's a part of our church, not simply to say, okay, I'll pitch in, you know, even though, I mean, pitching in is sometimes the way that you get there, but just that, man, we're not just looking to say, hey, we got slots to fill. We want people to fill slots. And we want people to say, this is what God made me for. Yes. Like, this is my unique contribution to the people of God and to the world through doing this. So, 100%. I mean, if somebody's looking at it and either is saying like, I haven't found that yet, or I really want that, but I'm not quite sure how to do it. Like, what would be some encouragements you would give for somebody about that's what we want? That's sort of the thing that we dream of and the thing that we pray for. How do you think somebody could pursue saying, I want to put myself out there and I want to find that?
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing to pursue Jesus? Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you leaving yourself open to allowing God to work through you and in you and bringing you to places that you're going to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to go to places that you don't think you're going to be effective in, but you believe God is leading you in this direction? And He does crazy things when you say yes to Him. And there are things that you're going to believe that, well, I this sounds cool, sounds exciting, but man, there's nothing. I'm not gifted in that way. I can't do it. Maybe you can't do it on your own, but with God, He mm-hmm. does amazing things, and He leads you to some places that you can't even imagine being. I mean, I've been a carpet cleaner for 28 years. I've owned a carpet cleaning business. It's like if you look at me from the outside, I'm just a blue collar guy that you know loves his family and has been volunteering at church for a while and working part-time at church, but God has taken some of my obedience and taken it and brought me to where I'm at now, which has been just a huge blessing. So if you're struggling with where do I go, the key word in that sentence is go. Mm-hmm. You have to do something. You have to, you can spend the rest of your life worrying about, well, is this where God's going to use me the most? Is this, maybe not, but it's a start.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start. And talk to me, talk to one of the other pastors, talk to a believer that is a friend of yours that knows you well, that can lead you in a direction that says, hey, I really think this is a good opportunity for you. Maybe you should give this a try. And eventually you get to the point that like, this is where I belong. It may not be like me when I first walked in and went, no, it may take a little bit of time. And you get to that point where you're just like, I can't imagine leaving children's ministry.
Yeah.
I can't imagine leaving men's ministry or whatever comes along. So.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things I really appreciate that you put in there was helping us to remember that this is a spiritual dynamic going on.
Yeah,
because we could fall into something where we sort of treat it almost like a matchmaking thing. Like, yeah. All right, I've taken this personality test or spiritual gifts. Now I want to find almost like we want the dream job where,
totally.
I don't know, there are adages that people like and some of them I don't like. Like people say, find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I'm like, I don't believe that. I'm like,
right, exactly.
I am in the job I want to be in and it is work sometimes.
There's still days where you're like,
Yeah, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm the pessimist, but,
no.
But just the idea that first of all, if we are walking by the Spirit, if we are walking with Jesus, then part of what goes on is that when we're serving Him in some way, whether it's sort of within a formal church ministry, within something that's adjacent sort of to the church, whether it's one of our local outreach partners or global outreach partners, or even like you said, if it's just, hey, this opportunity came up at my workplace and I've started a Bible study with a few
for
guys
sure.
or something like that. Just the sense that we're in on the mission that God is doing in the world is part of the joy.
Yes.
And then as we more sort of develop into figuring out our unique contribution, you know, like for me, I was sharing with you the other day, I was in student ministry, you know, right out of college. Nobody put it quite this bluntly, but doing student ministry, it was like, I was good at teaching. I was good at shepherding. I wasn't really good at any of the other parts of student ministry. We got it done good enough. But, you know, after a couple years of that, I thought, you know, I think it's college ministry. I think I like the more intellectual discussions. So I ended up a few years later getting hired on as college pastor. And I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
And after like 4 years, I was good at teaching. I was good at shepherding. I wasn't good at anything.
Sure, sure.
And so it was this refinement. Like I used to play that game Clue with my kids. Yeah, yeah. And one of the funny things about Clue is that the way that you win is through a bunch of wrong guesses that give you information.
Yeah.
And the more information you get, the more you narrow down, like, all right, it's not Mr. Green. It's not Colonel Mustard. It's not the revolt, you know, that's how, yeah. And I think sometimes it's been true of me and I think of you and of many others where it is a matter of saying like, oh, okay, I tried this, you know, part of this is it, but I don't think it's the whole thing. So let me keep doing this and let me try this and let me experiment in order of elimination. You know,
yeah.
Maybe somebody's like a greeter and, you know, they realize very quickly that it's not even close. Like,
right.
But I think that part of it is just that joy in saying, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a part of something that he's doing. So even if right away I'm not amazing at it, I still am a part of God's work. And there's joy in that. In just that alone.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And like with you, I'm sure your time in youth ministry and in college ministry, there's fruit that came out
Absolutely.
Of that. I mean, you built relationships, I'm sure, with students that you remember to this day that were significant.
Absolutely.
It may not have been your one and all, your total calling, but man, God's going to use it. He led you there for a reason, and God is going to use those regardless of what you think of yourself. And yeah. So, yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah,
so.
It's absolutely. Well, we've kind of hit on this a little bit, but, you know, my heart, and I know your heart also, goes to people who, you know, when we talk about serving, when we talk about taking that next step, just for one reason or another, feel stuck or kind of stilted in taking that next step into things. And maybe it's because of just not quite knowing where to start. Maybe it's because of fear of failure. Like none of us wants to look incompetent, you know, in this whole thing. So you've already talked a little bit about this, but what encouragement would you give to somebody who maybe similar to your story is sort of like, I've been out of the game for a while in this, or somebody that hears these calls to serve and just has yet to take that first step into it?
Yeah. Listen to that call. Mm. There's a reason that you have these longings. When I was still in kind of my doubting stage, in my doubting stage, I would sit at church and I would see somebody teach and I'd be, oh, I miss doing that. And I remember pushing it down going, nope, that's not what you do anymore. Or I would see somebody, you know, the youth group outside hanging out doing something, oh, I miss that. And I'd be like, nope, that's not what you do anymore. God put those longings in me, and he used those when I was finally ready to listen. Mm. So if you're at that point where you believe God is going to use you and you're feeling a little distant from him, listen to that. Listen to why you feel that way. Get into the word. Get into, like, pray with him. Pray and listen to him. Practice hearing his voice. One thing I really learned in my last, gosh, probably 6 or 8 years of my life is listening to God. We tend to have a plan for what we should be doing. We tend to know exactly what we're good at, where we should go, and let's go that direction. And so we say, God, show me how to do this, show me how to do this, show me, and we just bark out all these orders.
We've skipped ahead a little bit.
We don't sit and go, God, what do you want from me? Where do you want me? How can I serve you best? If you ask him for that, it's just like, you know, in James where it says, if you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. Because he knows that you're open. You're open now. You're willing to serve him. You're willing to move and willing to learn. You, by the fact that you're saying, I feel like I'm not doing much, or I'm kind of missing the mark, or I've been out of the game for a while, that's a calling from God. Mm. What is that calling? That's what you need to figure out. And again, sometimes you don't have to be concise and perfect your first time out, but do something.
Yeah.
Do something. Go somewhere. There's loads of opportunities here. I've seen people in the coffee house here that change people's lives, not because they made a fantastic cup of coffee, but they're willing to sit and talk with people and pray with people and show people that they're loved. Like there's a statistic we used to say in youth group, like 80% of people that attempted suicide and were unsuccessful said they wouldn't do it if somebody had said hello to them that day. We're representatives of Christ. How exciting is it that the creator of everything asks us to represent him, and he's gifted us uniquely to do that. And so do it. Yeah. It's time to just do it.
Oh, I love that too. And I love the emphasis too on just, God's not going to leave us in the lurch on this.
No.
You know, if we're crying out, I really want your guidance on this.
Yes.
He's not going to fold his arms and say, you know, figure it out on your own. It's obviously something he longs for us. And even though the path that he leads us on might feel to us like it's kind of a winding path that's not as straight as we might choose for ourselves. Right. As you even pointed out with my story, like, the different places that he takes us all have a purpose in how he's forming us and how he's guiding us. And Absolutely. That's something we can really trust him in.
Yeah. I don't think 10 years ago, I know 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been in a position to take this pastor's job. He's been working on me throughout the past. As soon as I was willing to say yes to him, he's been working on me and brought me to this point, and I'm super excited to see what's next.
Awesome. So. Well, thanks, Tim. And this definitely won't be the last time we do something like this, because cool. We'll talk in the future about Go Teams. We'll talk in the future about all the different things that that you now have your hands in and helping lead our church in. But
awesome.
Thanks so much for sharing a little bit of your story, and hopefully through your story and through your encouragement, helping people see what God does when we say that yes to him.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'd love to be able to share my heart. And if anybody would love to talk with me or is curious about opportunities there are at the church, please find me. You can call me here. I'm always available, and I would love to talk with you.
That's awesome. So thanks, Tim. And certainly for any of you who are part of LBF Church, that's an open invitation with Tim and with all our pastoral staff. And also for any of you who are just listening to or watching this podcast episode, if you feel like, you know, I have a question, I have a follow-up, I have a comment, but we always love interacting with those. And so you could do those on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church. You can find all the episodes of the Christian Contrast there, or on our website, lbf.church. We put out a new episode of the Christian Contrast every 2 weeks. And so if you're just discovering it now and you feel like this is something helpful in helping you walk with Jesus, you can find all kinds of episodes from the past that hopefully will do the same thing. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. So in the meantime, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.